Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Hey, everybody, it is Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast for the fourth season, for the fourth edition. I am your host, T. Morris, and I'm joined none other than the math, the myth, the legend, Chuck Tomasi. Chuck, how are you today?
Don't you have to be dead to be a legend?
You can be a living legend.
That was,
come on.
That was like the first thing I remember out of legends.
Bruce Springsteen is a legend. He is still with us. Okay. Idris Elba is legendary. He's still with us. All right. You can be a living legend.
Good to be here. Thanks. How about you?
Like a pro, everybody. Like a pro.
We're doing great here at Casa de Morris. Got a great start to the year. I'm thrilled to be back. Not only writing, not only talking about podcasting, not only streaming, but I'm also thrilled to be running again. I'm going to point this out since it's prominent in the screen right now. I'm getting back into my running, and had the first five for 2021. Felt really good. Got new shoes for Christmas, so they're all nice and broken in now. And starting at the end of this month, at the time of this recording, it is January. January 25th, I will be starting training for my next half marathon, which is the Star Wars Rival Run. And I'm really hoping that at the time that this drops, I will have had a couple more interviews on one of my podcasts, Happy Hour from the Tower, over at happyhourfromthetower.com. We're trying to reach out, we're trying to get more of the voice talent to come in and talk to us. There's been a lot of developments in the game, so we already have insights with some of the other actors that have been previously on. They now have more prominent roles in this current thread that is working through Destiny the game. So I'm hoping that we can get them back on to talk about that, because that's what we're talking about in this episode of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. We are talking about interviews, and We cover a lot of different topics, a lot of different techniques, not just in how to interview a person, but also in how to query somebody for an interview. But I wanted to get your perspective on it, Chuck. What is it that you look for in an interview, whether you're in the hot seat or whether you're the one actually asking the questions?
Oh, good question. I don't get put in the hot seat too much, but I do have a couple that are in the queue right now for work. And I always get a little excitement about being asked to do an interview, because it really if I am on the asking end, I want to make sure that it fits the topic. You know, we've usually got an idea that it goes with this show or does that topic for this particular property. So it's got to be aligned, and I like to keep these conversational. They've got to have a structure to them. I've got some questions lined up in case things don't quite go, you know, which way you want with a completely improv. You know, you don't want to be sitting around the microphone going, "So, how's your coffee?"
Good.
Do you drink it black?
Yes.
Okay.
This happens, Chuck.
Yeah,
this
I know. Happens. This does.
This happens.
So I start. I've got one in the pipeline. I'm going to be recording it for Monday with someone that is part of our developer ecosystem. And first, I ask, "Are you interested?" Usually, they're aware of the podcast already. But if they're not, I give them a little brevity about, "Hey, we do this podcast on XYZ." We hear some interviews we've had in the past. If they want to familiarize themselves, here's a link to our show, our website. You can go listen to the format. And that's something I do as being asked for an interview as well. I say, "Hey, do you have any episodes that I can listen to so I can understand what's the style? What's the voice?" Because I certainly don't want to come across as this over energetic person if it's a low energy show. Hopefully it's not.
Right.
Or right. I don't want to come across as, you know, I want to fit into their style as well. But obviously they want me to appear on their podcast. So I kind of mix that up between the asking and the asker. But what I like to do is have that structure available, use it as a scaffolding, but be willing to deviate when necessary. I just had a wonderful one with a woman named Maria for our work podcast. I had these questions lined up, you know, tell me your origin story, because every superhero, I refer to our developers as superheroes. Every right. superhero has an origin story, so tell me yours. And I send them these questions a couple of weeks before we record, so they've got time to read them, they can annotate them, they can put in their own questions if they want to take it somewhere else. And then T is well aware of this. You use that as a scaffolding for the discussion, but you can right. go down rabbit holes if you hear questions that you want to really pursue. So Maria opened up the question. I say, what do you do for fun? She goes, oh, I'm into shrimp breeding. And I said, did I hear that right? Shrimp breeding?
Right.
I wanted right. to go right. after her like computer science degree. No, this took a total left turn and I followed it. And it was a
and
great.
You got to be ready for that.
Yeah.
You got to be ready for that. I call those types of questions wild card questions. And I remember one of my favorite interviews for a podcast was with Sam Calagione of he was the founder and head brewer at Dogfish Head Brewery. And I remember he was releasing a book for Wiley, and we were at BEA, so we were recording this with a live audience. And we were, it was the sounds of Book Expo America around us, and I basically said, I've got five standard questions, which goes back to what Spence says.
Yeah.
Personal opinions about canned questions or questions you ask every interviewee, and these were pretty staple. And Wiley was trusting me. Wiley really trusted me how was I going to handle this? And this was when they started, they didn't know me from a bar of soap. I had just done the first edition of Podcasting for Dummies. And I'm sitting there talking to Sam. And I said, I'm going to ask you four, questions. So feel free to just build on those answers. However it is, it's going to probably be around based very much around the book, inspirations, things like that. But then I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you one wild card question. And this is the question that is got nothing to do with book. It's got nothing to do with, it's got something to do with you, but something that you do. And we get to the wild card question. I said, Sam, so here's my wild card question. Now remember, this is in 2005, so Dogfish is relatively new as a brewery.
Yeah,
and I said, "Why does corporate America beer suck so bad?" And I saw the folks from Wiley go pale, and without flinching, Sam looks at me and goes, "Wow, we're going to go there, aren't we?" And I went, "Yes, we are." And he started chuckling, and Sam said, "Well, you see, T, the reason why corporate American beer tastes innocuous, bland,
lacks character,
lacks character." And I said, "You're going to try to come up with every other word other than suck." And he's like, "Yes, I am." And we are howling. Wiley is now like, "Okay, we're good. We got this."
Yeah.
And I almost couldn't get rid of Sam. And he was fantastic. The other one was I had the chief editor at their time. I had the chief editor of Bon Appetit magazine. And I got to the wild card question. And again, Wiley was a little nervous. And I said, "So here's my wild card question. What was it like having the most incredible product placement in Silence of the Lambs?" And she just started howling. And she said, "Do you know, we didn't even know that was in the movie. We just suddenly saw a spike in all of our subscriptions. We're like, what's going on?" And someone said, "I'm subscribing because of Silence of the Lambs." And they were like, "What?" And literally, literally that movie, she told me that movie tripled their yearly subscriptions.
Nice.
And so to say thank you, they invited Anthony Hopkins in for a photo shoot. And she said, "And let me tell you something, Sir Anthony Hopkins was one of the nicest people. You would never think he was eating people like he did in the movie."
And give him a bottle of Chianti.
Yeah. And so anyway, but that's the thing, is that So canned questions, I don't think are a bad thing because they are a, they're that connection. They're that stepping stone.
Yeah.
To better questions. But for me, I like to have questions that, and we do the same thing, Chuck. We when we petition the talent, when we petition people who worked on the game, when we reach out and we talk to anybody in any field that's a subject matter expert, the more you know about your subject, the more interesting that interview is going to be.
Yes.
Period.
If they're promoting a book, read the book.
If you can't read the book, then try to get an overview of the. Try to make sure that you can get into the book at least to an extent. Highlight some stuff, right? and so you got to, that's the sort of thing that you need to do. And when the more you find out about your interview subjects, the more you're able to just run and go down different tangents and not necessarily just talk about that one project, but talk about them. It's a matter of making a connection between you and the person you want to interview.
Yeah. Now, does a certain Technorama interview come up? We were talking about the first Billabub Battings book, and Craig goes, says here on your website, you like cigars.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if you can.
Actually,
you
no, can no, I find think that was some, from Moravi. I think
it might have been Moravi. It might, yeah, you're
it was
right,
Moravi.
Because right.
by then, Craig knew exactly how much I love cigars. So, I mean, that goes without saying.
But it's those nuggets where you can go beyond, let's talk about your book, too. Let's talk about you. You get that inside information, and it makes the conversation more personal. And the listener is along for this ride going, you know, this is a really cool person you're talking to. It's not just some author banging at their keyboard or, someone directing a film. This is a real person. Let's get to know them.
Right. Right. Now, one of the things though, that I would say, and I know we definitely cover it in the book, but I think it bears repeating on this podcast, is that when you are interviewing someone, the show should be for them. It is not your show anymore. You are literally turning over either a segment of the show or you're giving the show up as a platform for that individual. I say this because I know that in some of my early interviews, sometimes I would go back to talk about me. And I caught that thing that why am I still talking?
I've actually edited myself out of a lot of interviews. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you'll catch this usually in post. You're going, there's like, it shouldn't be even 50-50 people talking.
Right.
You know, I asked them a question, they gave their experience, and why am I giving my experience about the same damn thing? It's like, just stop there and move on to the next question.
Right.
It's about them. And I still catch myself doing that because, you know, tending to be a bit of an extrovert. The other one that I caught, since we're on the topic, is I tend to laugh or giggle quite a bit. You know, we want to keep things light and friendly, and I want to make the person feel welcome. But I realized I was laughing a few places that was out of turn, so I edit those out too.
and when it comes to editing stuff in interviews, you just want to make sure that if you are interviewing, you want to make sure that you're not editing anything in the interview itself, that you're changing the intent of the message of whomever's talking.
Yeah, I think we had a discussion on this a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, there is such a thing as unethical editing.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. It is out there and it does happen. You have to be very, very cautious. But it is, part of the thing is that you're trying to make a connection with the interview subject, and that's fine too. But I do remember there was this one topic or this one podcast. Again, we're not going to badmouth any particular podcast, but I remember listening to a podcast where it was three people and an author guest. And these three people started having a conversation around each other. They started having a conversation. It's going back and forth. It's going back and forth. And the author has been silent for 10 minutes.
Oh, Oh.
And you see, that's when the show has stopped being about the author or the guest, and it's become about you. And this is where this would be the bit of caution that I would give is you want to make sure that you're being good host. And it works both ways. Not only do you have to work at being a good host, you also have to work at being a good guest. And there are guests you're going to encounter that are going to be right jerk. And so you make it a point, chat, that you do not put that person's name into a hat for, hey, let's have this person on our show because they were a lot of fun. If they weren't fun, if they were hostile, if they were jerks, don't have them on. Seriously, don't have them on. What about you, Chuck? What is some of your advice when it comes to hosting or being a good interview or being a good interview subject?
Well, being a good interview subject, I think goes back to understanding what they're asking for. Mm-hmm. You know, these two that are lined up for work are kind of vague right now. Oh, we want to hear your story. You've been with the company since they started. I said, well, to clarify, no. The company was 6 years old by the time I did start. Yes, they were still under 200 employees, and now they're over 11,000. So there's been a tremendous amount of growth. So I'm trying to feel the vibe of what are they looking for so that I can speak to that. Are they looking for what's my career story? Are they looking for something technical? So we're going to have, we've actually set up a call, I think it's on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, to discuss what are you looking for? So I can understand that and then come across as a better presenter. Do I even need to prepare for anything? Because oftentimes when you get a guest, it's nice to send them the questions ahead of time. Yeah, if you don't, or you forget, or you can't, or whatever the issue is, and it's about them. Most people are pretty comfortable talking about themselves or a recent project or property
right
off the cuff. But it certainly does help when they know what the questions, what the framework of that is. And then I always put in there, you know, we're subject to change this on the fly. We can even do editing. And I start every conversation and say, hey, thanks for joining me. We're on Zoom or whatever. And we say, yeah, I'm free to edit. So if we're going down a trail and this has happened and you feel like this isn't going in the direction you want, say, hey, let's stop here. We'll back up. I'll ask the question again and we can continue. It happens. And we wind up with a better interview. I mean, editing is perfectly legal unless, of course, you're doing live stream like this.
Well, yeah, exactly. And actually that's a great segue to what Resident Moon asked in chat regarding ethics of editing. Have you had an instance where the interviewee goes on a tangent that is inappropriate and you had to decide if you're going to edit it out or do you leave it and let them put their foot in their mouth?
I have not, personally.
I have, but I wasn't the interviewee. Yeah, I was the interviewee. I was the subject.
Okay.
And this particular podcaster basically was interviewing me and asked me about another author. And I started to talk about the differences that this author had with me and in our style and in how we approach subject matter. And he kept pressing me about this. And I caught myself getting a little flustered. And also talking out of turn because I was making assumptions about this author that I had no idea were true or not. And I just stopped and I said, would you mind if you edited that out? Because I really don't feel comfortable talking about other authors. I'd rather just focus on my work and focus on what I do.
Sure.
That podcaster did not.
I was on the other side and I was asking questions. And one of the things I like to do is before I release it, is let them listen to it and go, what do you think? Is there anything we need to re-record or take out? And I had one recently where the guy said, yeah, that part where you asked me this question about blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't like the way that answer came out and I don't think it's going to work well with the audience. Could you take that out? I mean, it was a whole 2 minutes and 40 seconds out of a 38-minute interview. It's not going to make a big difference in the end result content. And the nice thing about interviews for editing, ladies and gentlemen, is it usually starts with a question
right.
and goes to another question. You can edit those very easily. And
it's
no
very easy to edit
know.
That out. And that's the other thing too, is that you want to make sure that your interview subject is comfortable with you, because if they are comfortable with you, that means that if you call them back and say, "Hey, we did this interview X months ago. We'd like to have you come back on." They'd be like, "Yeah, sure. Right. Absolutely. Or I'd love to interview with you again." You know, that sort of thing. And with this one podcaster, I gave them a second shot at the apple. I said, "Okay, you wanted me back on the podcast for something else." Started talking about it. He started talking about the author again. And I stopped and I said, "All right, we're doing this again. And I really don't want to go down this road. So if you don't mind editing it out." And this time I didn't even answer the question. I said, "Just edit out the question and edit this segment out. I would appreciate that." A second time he released it.
Oh, no.
And he has petitioned me for two other interviews in the past.
No.
And I haven't even said no. I have let the interview sit. Those queries sit. I don't even respond to them.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah. And also here's the other thing too. And also when it comes to querying people, if someone turns you down for an interview, that's okay. That is more than okay. For Twitch for Dummies, I petitioned quite a few people to interview, and I got some real lame excuses. One lame excuse is, "I'm thinking about, I'm not sure where I'm at in my streaming career right now. So I think I'm going to, I think I'm going to hang it up." That person is still streaming 3 years later with even higher numbers when they were streaming. There was somebody that said, "Oh, you want to interview me for a book? Well, you need to subscribe to my channel. And then when you subscribe to my channel, you'll get an access to my exclusive Discord room where I will entertain interview queries." So I get to the go to the special room. That person says, "Oh, I'm her assistant and I will allow, I will ferry on this request to her." So I give my credentials. I send them off. I hear nothing in reply. Nothing. And I said, "Oh, well then, and I move on." And that's the thing. You move on. Now there will be some people that say, "We just don't have it in our schedule to interview." And that's fine.
I always give a nice professional response back to that. If somebody says, I'm in the middle of production on something, and this has happened as well. We really wanted to talk about this author and said, "Love to talk to you about, your book." And they said, "Well, I'm actually in the process of writing another one." I said, "Okay,
right.
We're at your disposal. Would it be all right if I check back in a year or 6 months or whatever it is, what your lead time is?
Absolutely.
I'd like to stay in touch. We are very much interested. Show your interest." It's like a job interview, people. If you want to get that job, you have to show interest, without being an annoying SOB. Like
a, yeah. And just like being with a job interview, you also can tell the difference of a professional rejection versus a flaky rejection.
Yeah.
And you have a lot more leeway. And the other thing is you'll have somebody that says yes. And then you can wind up having a fantastic interview with them. Chuck and I both are very fortunate to have amazing stories from amazing people. And we all have wish lists. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you really should craft your query, and you'd be amazed at who you'll find on your podcast. I mean, what other advice stands out for you, Chuck, on interviews, on hosting them and actually working with
if you don't ask, you don't get. you can't score if you don't shoot on the goal.
Exactly.
So, and the worst they can say is no. And like T said, you move on. Right. There are some, you want to go into the technical nuances of interviewing at all?
The one thing I would say technical wise about interviews is, I would definitely say that going harkening back to our to episode 9, when we talk about making sure you have everything backed up. You know, you've got fresh batteries in case the batteries conk out, or if you don't have enough room on your SD card, you have another SD card. If you are prepared, it's going to put your subject matter expert at ease, because they're going to be like, oh, this person knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
If you're stumbling around trying to get the equipment to work, and you're starting to get frustrated with it, and you don't have a backup plan, that's going to really set things in a weird way with your subject matter expert.
One more technical thing is, have some options to reach out to that person. You know, if they don't have Discord and you're in love with Discord, well, you better have a plan B, because I don't want to have somebody have to install an application just to do my interview. I'd say we are available with Discord or Skype, or I can call you on a phone line, whatever is convenient for you. You know, we also have Zoom. Have some options. I know some of these are subscription based, but have some options, and the least common denominator is a good old phone connection.
Yes.
It's not going to give you the best audio quality, but whatever is convenient for your interviewee.
One thing you've got going for you, though, is with the pandemic, I think a lot of people have gotten familiar with Skype, Zoom, Discord, all these different services out there. So that is one big plus. Now, Spence has a question for both of us, so I'll let you take the lead on this. Who are your dream guests for your respective podcasts? So I would say pick two, because we're coming up near the end.
Of the ones that are still living? I have to admit, I really wanted to talk to General Chuck Yeager on Technorama, and I tried. I reached out to him a few years ago, but unfortunately, he recently passed away. So he was on that bucket list, wish list of the podcast. At Technorama, we've got a couple in the pipeline, and I'm always amazed at who we get, just improv. The topic is Trek. Boy, there is a wide variety of people to talk about there. And we don't make interviews a central theme on that show. They're more of a special one-off thing. I think we've got just a couple in the 3 years that we've been going. So it's it really is a big question, and I never turned down any opportunity. But who's on the top of the top list? That kind of caught me off guard with that question.
While you stew on that for a bit, I can say that for the shared desk, our guest list has kind of dried up. We usually interview people at cons, and that I know that I would love. I mean, because our show is about collaboration, I would love to have Tracy Hickman and Margaret Weiss on to get the two of the two masters behind the Dragonlance. That would be a blast. That would be an absolute blast to have. For a happy hour from the tower, that's another big list. I know that I would love to get on the list a lot more voice actors, because I am a fan of his. I'd love to get Lance Rowe. He is the voice of Zavala, and he would be a blast to have because, one, he's a big old geek himself. He plays the game, and I would love to have him in studio or have him, you know, interview somewhere so that we can talk about his experience being one of these iconic characters. Now, the one that would be the wild card, and I think it popped up in my head mainly because we just watched Frost Nixon, which unexpectedly is a riveting movie, and Frank Langella plays Nixon, and he's brilliant as Nixon. How that ties back to Destiny is that Nixon plays Nixon. Frank Langella plays Iago, who is the right hand to Dominus Gall in Destiny 2, The Red War. That was the very first drop of new content from Destiny. And Frank Langella had never done a video game. He had never done anything like that. And the only reason he did it was because his grandson said to him, "Granddad, you got to do this. This is cool." So he did it because it was cool. And we had the voice director. We had the voice director on our show. And he talked about working with Frank Langella. And he said, not only was he one of the kindest individuals I've ever had the pleasure of working, but he was also one of the most professional people. And I've worked with a lot of people in this industry, but he was one of the most professional people I've ever had the pleasure of working with. And so it's kind of a long, but unfortunately his character dies during the Red War, but I really would love to have him on just because I've been a fan of Frank Langella since the 1970s when he was Dracula. So, you know, that's just the fanboy me talking.
All right. I got one.
And then finally, I would say for Happy Hour, I would like to get more of the developer because these incredible people make this game and they make it happen. And I just want to talk about how they have overcome this astounding challenge of not being able to work amongst each other, of having to work 100% remote. And they are still cranking out this incredible video game that is beautiful to watch. What about you? I knew this episode was going to go long, so don't worry about it. So Chuck, what is it for you? Who is your?
So Craig is working on a follow-up interview with Ernie Cline, who wrote Ready Player One and now has Ready Player Two. Although the man who narrates the audiobook, Will Wheaton, actually did both of them. I would just love to hang out with Will Wheaton. I think he'd just be so cool to, you know, have a chat. Just the way he narrates the book, I could go into a half a dozen questions just about his process, his acting training, and how that's worked into his voice. I'm listening to this book, but I'm secretively creating interview questions at the same time.
And what's funnier still, I think two of the best interviews that mutual friends of ours, Chuck, in that studio right there, from the Dragon Page. I remember two of the best interviews that Mike and Evo did was one where they interviewed Will Wheaton.
Mm-hmm.
And they were ready for it to go pear-shaped. They were ready for it to go pear-shaped.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they were pleasantly surprised on how affable and how open Will Wheaton was about the whole experience of being Will Wheaton. And I remember one of the comments that I thought, oh God, that's going to end the interview, but he ran with it. Evo said, if there was any child actor that we were expecting to wind up in a ditch somewhere, strung out on coke and heroin, it would be you. And Will was like, yeah, I can see that. You know, I mean, he just ran with it. The other interview that was absolutely brilliant was when they did an interview. Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And he was Evo and Mike couldn't keep up with him. They could not keep up with him. It was bottom line. The man broke Evo and Mike. And you know how hard it is to break Evo Terra. And he broke him. And I just was like, yeah, this is a good interview. This is a very good interview.
They had some superstars. Peter Mayhew was in this house at one point.
Yep. Yep.
I think of that every time I go down the corridor to the restroom because he had to duck.
So I'm trying to think of any other last minute things. You know, and since we mentioned the movie Frost Nixon, I think that's a great movie. If you want to look at interviews. If you want to look at how to do an interview, that was a great movie just to watch to see how interviews can go and how important it is that you as an individual can keep control over the interview so that it doesn't spiral out of control, that it doesn't spiral into some weird mess of word salad. You know, when you are doing an interview, you want to give it the room to go somewhere. But at the same time, this is your ship. You are at the helm. You need to make sure that you're on top of it. What about you, Chuck? Is there any parting words of wisdom you would have for this?
Have fun with it. Don't get stressed. Mm-hmm. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I think having fun with it is also extremely essential.
Behind the fame and fortune of a lot of these superstars, whether it's an athlete or a developer or a movie star, They're people. And as soon as you recognize that, it breaks down that fanboy thing. I mean, yeah, it's okay to get excited about talking to somebody.
It's more than okay.
But it's also, you want to maintain that professionalism as well. And once you get to know, these are just people. They just have a slightly different job than I do. Then it becomes fun.
So that reminds me of, and this works on either side of the mic that you're on. So I was, I remember, this was when Phoenix Rising was just out. So we're actually working really hard, getting on people, podcasts and working on that. And then Pip and I, through our agent, found, the League of Steam, or rather I should say the League of Steam found us. And they said, we would love to have them on the podcast. Now, for those of you who are familiar with steampunk, the League of Steam was one of the leading groups, performance groups that would do sketch comedy. They would do videos. This was a multi-talented group of steampunks. They made all their stuff and they wanted to talk to us, and we're fans of League of Steam, and they wanted us on their podcast as featured. Okay. Well, Pip corners me and says, let's get something straight to you. You will not talk about cigars. You will not talk about beer. You will keep it professional. This is the League of Steam.
Yes,
dear. We are not gonna, don't you be goofy, T.
Yes, dear.
I need professionalty. And I was like, yeah, I know. I mean, she was nervous. I was nervous. So we get on the mics. We are sitting at our mics 10 minutes before they even need us there.
I'm going where the interview takes me.
and so we sit down and we hold that thought, Spence. So we're sitting the microphones, mics go hot, and they say, Mr. Morris, Mrs. Morris, is it Mrs. Morris or Miss Ballantyne? It's Miss Ballantyne. Okay. Mr. Morris, Miss Ballantyne, it is a pleasure to have you on our show. We're just doing a few little technical things. And we're just gonna get set and get ready to go. I said, great, we're here at your disposal. Fantastic. And I go, I'm sorry, what was that?
You know what that was.
And then for a few seconds, nobody said anything. And then this guy goes, Mr. Morris, we'd like to apologize about that. What was it? One of our interviewers just opened an alcoholic beverage. I'm like, oh, it's that kind of podcast. Rock on. I go off. I get beer. I said, honey, you want a wine? She was like, yeah. And we get back. They are howling on the other end. And they're like, shit, we thought we'd, and this was League of Steam. They're like, shit, we thought we'd blown that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you guys are T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne. We're huge fans. And we start howling. And I'm like, okay, let's start this over again. Hi, I'm T. This is my wife, Pip. We write steampunk and we love what you guys do. They start nerding. We start nerding. We start drinking. It was one of the best interviews ever. And we really had, I mean, at one point we start talking about beer and we start talking about wine and we're howling through this. And at the end of the interview, they were like, do you want, they said, we saw you guys are coming out to this event in LA. Do you guys want to just hang out with us? And we wound up spending the entire day at this con with the League of Steam.
Cool.
I mean, what a great time. And it all started, but the thing is, it's okay to approach people that you're fans of and be professional. But if that opportunity arises where you can just relax and have some fun.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, obviously we went long on this one and I kind of figured out that was what's going on there. Because you know, the interview chapter you're going to find in Podcasting for Dummies is one of the biggest chapters in the book. But if you ever have any questions about interviews, about how to do interviews, or if you need, you know, if you have any questions for us, feel free to come on by and be part of the show and ask questions, because we will gladly take those questions again in later shows at twitch.tv/theTMonster, which is where you're at right now. Or you can go on ahead and drop us a voicemail at 703-791-1701. Or you can just go to the comment section of podcastingfordummies.com and leave us a comment. Let us know what's on your mind, what you think, and we will gladly address it on the show. Hey, just remember, folks, Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share-alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. On behalf of Chuck Tomasi, thanks for listening, everybody. Pod on.